Good evening and welcome. We are here to... Thank you. It's wonderful that you're all here this evening, and we are going to begin with inviting our president up here for our prayer and opening prayer, please. And then we'll begin to do, and we'll do a singing.
Well, this is a special evening. It's the Sending Chapel. Let me just share with you briefly what that means. The Sending Service of Nazarene Bible College is that special chapel event in which the faculty and administration send the graduates of the college out to minister to our world. Such a sending should be done with great joy and blessings. Amen? That the students might be empowered and the faculty might be strengthened by the product of their labors. So tonight is a time of celebration, a time of rejoicing. It's a time that we trust that the blessings that are set over our graduates, they will remember as they go forth into the world. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this special chapel. We thank you for our graduates, their families and friends, and I pray that this evening would be an evening full of joy and celebration. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Well, here you are, your last chapel service at Nazarene Bible College. For years, during this service, there was a message. I believe the president delivered a sermon. And my first year here, I thought that it was most appropriate that you hear not from me, or at least not from me alone, but from those who have taught you, mentored you, and in many cases been your shepherd. And so tonight, in this special service, you will be receiving a blessing from those that mean so much to you. I heard you last night. And this is a wonderful opportunity for us to say a blessing over you. When I thought about this, well, now it's my third year. I thought about this 3 years ago. My mind was drawn and my heart was drawn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The thing that really stuck in my heart as I read this passage is that three times Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He was pronouncing a blessing over those followers who had walked with him along this earthly journey. And so tonight, God has called you. And the God who has called you is indeed faithful. He has kept you through the years of preparation, and he will keep you as you go from this place. And again, I think it's most appropriate in this Sending Chapel if we will hear from those who have taught you, encouraged you, prayed with you, and believed in you. So they're going to be coming and sharing with you tonight a special blessing. God bless you as you receive from our Lord through your faculty tonight.
At this point, we'd like to welcome any students who wish to come to the altar for prayer. Is that okay? Didn't that sound? As the blessings come up, okay, who is going to begin with our blessings? I'm up.
You're the man.
Okay. As we have our blessings from the faculty, how many of our faculty do have their blessings that were then? They were already in your books, is that correct? Yes? At this point, you know, what we bring to you is what we've done, as Dr. Graves has said, in our classes, and how much we've seen of you. And I know I haven't always seen all of you, as many of you would have had classes that would have been with me, only the one class. But it's so wonderful to see how much you have grown, how much you've set your sights on what is going to be there in front of you, and what your mission will be when you set forward and take on your ministry in whatever form it does take. It's wonderful to know that in an institution such as this, we've all taken those steps one at a time to step forward in the calling that you've all been called to do. And we can only wish you the very best in what God has in store for you, so that when you leave this institution on Sunday, you now are going into that mission field and will be taking on what God is asking you to do. And it's a pretty big responsibility. And there's going to be things that are just going to be totally foreign to you, and others that are going to be completely comfortable to you. Because we all go in God's calling, we go with His arms around us, and we go with His blessing, just as President Graves now has given you that blessing. And we can only wish you the very best, with God's wonderful protection around you as you step forward.
May the grace of God that enfolded you from the beginning, that beckoned you into His presence, that birthed you into His family, that is changing you into His likeness, that summoned you into His service, that led you to this college and undergirded your time here. May that same grace guide your every moment, shape your every prayer, mold your every word, empower your every deed, illumine your every challenge, enlarge your every dream, and keep your every care until the day of Christ's appearing and until we meet again. Peace to you.
Yivarekaka Adonai. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you. May you be blessed for the contributions you have made to our lives here on this campus. May you become a blessing to those whom you will serve in the near future. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you. Yevarech ka Adonai. Osei shemayim va'aretz.
In his little book, Earthy Mysticism, William McNamara comments on what an awesome, and he even says terrible, thing it is to be called by God. To God's question, he says, that question, where art thou? The author suggests this haunting and halting reverent response. Here I am, Lord, standing defenselessly in your presence, transparently. Take me, possess me, seize me, consume me, and if you will, if it is your good pleasure, send me into the world with your message, your scorching words, and your flaming love. Graduates, as you follow God's call out into the world, here's a scripture that's become my personal life message and promise. It was God's blessing to Moses as well. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
When you leave this place, you will have the blessed privilege to stand among God's people as one who has been prepared to minister in some special way. Remember, it is a privilege of God's calling that you will have a people among whom you will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have been educated at Nazarene Bible College for assignments that are somewhat paradoxical. You have been prepared to lead those you will serve and to serve those you will lead. You are to serve among the people of God. By your office, you will not be more holy than they, nor are they less Christian than are you. Peter wrote the following to all Christians everywhere and for all times. Remember that this applies to you because you stand among his people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
From both of us, there is no greater joy and no finer pursuit than occupying the place where God has chosen for you to serve. When you go forth to serve him, may he fill your heart with his love, your mind with his joy, and your spirit with his peace. May you take each step with patience, speak each word with kindness, live each day in goodness. May your life be characterized by the faithfulness of God the Father, the gentleness of Christ our Savior, the self-control of the Holy Spirit. Go with our love and blessing. Go forth with joy to serve.
Let your heart be broken for a world in need. Feed the mouths that hunger, soothe the wounds that bleed. Give a cup of water and a loaf of bread. Be the hands of Jesus serving in his stead. Here on earth applying principles of love. Visible expression, God still rules above. Living illustration, of the living Word to the minds of all who've never seen and heard. Blessed to be a blessing, privileged to care, challenged by the need apparent everywhere. Where mankind is wanting, fill the vacant place. Be the means through which the Lord reveals His grace. Add to your believing deeds that prove it true. Knowing Christ as Savior, make Him master too. Follow in His footsteps, go where He has trod. In the world's great trouble, risk yourself for God. Let your heart be tender and your vision clear. See mankind as God sees, serve Him far and near. Let your heart be broken by a brother's pain. Share your rich resources, give and give again. Amen.
Our blessing for you is adapted from the breastplate of St. Patrick. As you leave this sacred place, may the strength of God pilot you, the power of God preserve you.
May the wisdom of God instruct you, and the hand of God protect you.
May the way of God direct you, the shield of God defend you.
May the host of God guard you against the snares of the evil one and the temptations of this world. May Christ be with you.
Christ before you and behind you, Christ above you and beneath you, to your left and to your right. May Christ be within you.
Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of you, Christ in every eye that sees you, Christ in every ear that hears you.
May the salvation of the Lord be yours this day and evermore. Amen.
You all answered the call to come to NBC to prepare for ministry. Now you begin the journey. Through the challenges and the joys of servanthood, I would like to share with you some words that I borrowed from John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, forever long as you can. A humble, God-centered attitude will lead to deeper personal peace and a greater positive impact on the world around you. It will also bring joy and honor to God, who dearly loves you. The closer you draw to God, the deeper your love will grow, and the more like Jesus your attitude will become. Philippians 2:4 and 5 says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Graduates, I ask God's blessing on you as you cultivate a God-centered attitude.
May He who has called you, gifted you, grace you in all your tomorrows. May your greatest success be in your obedience to become all that he ever dreamed you to become. May his peace abide in you, in each storm, in each struggle, in each challenge. And may, at the end of your journey, you find yourself safe in his presence, blameless, faithful, and full of his everlasting joy. Thank you.
The story is told of a young Jewish student who had studied for a long time under the wise guidance of a rabbi named Moshe. After several years of study, the student became very troubled and agitated. And so Moshe visited with the student to discover what the problem was. The student looked at Moshe and said, "I have studied the lives of the heroes of the faith for several years now, and I have become very frustrated. I have discovered that regardless of how faithful or insightful or wise I try to become, there will always be an Abraham or a Moses or a Solomon who is even more faithful or more insightful, or who is even wiser than I am. How can I truly serve God and give myself to his kingdom when there are so many other individuals who will always be greater than I am? How can I ever become an Abraham or a Moses or a Solomon?" Moshe looked at his student for a moment and then answered, "My child, the greatest challenge that God has ever given to me was not for me to be an Abraham or a Moses. Rather, the greatest challenge that God has ever given to me was for me to be Moshe. As you leave this place, I do not want to challenge you to become another Alan Like or another Janice Deuce or another Tom King. I want to challenge you to become the person that God has created you to be. Go from this place and be the man of God or the woman of God that God planned you to be. Be the servant leader that God intended you to be. As you leave this special place called Nazarene Bible College, I would like to remind you of the instructions that Peter gave to his readers in his second letter. Peter wrote, "Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, perseverance, to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you, and may you become Christ incarnate to a lost and dying world."
In 2 Corinthians 3 and 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul writes to those who have been under the blessings of his ministry. And he shares from his heart what he sees as the fulfillment of his ministry. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. As the Lord Jesus Christ has redrawn our lives after his image in the ink of the Holy Spirit, and as by his grace he has used us to redraw your lives after his image by that same Spirit, may the Lord of life use you to rewrite the life stories written on tablets of human hearts. And as you leave us, we look forward to that day when we will all be reunited before his throne. And we shall bear you as our proud crown of hope and joy, as you lay at our Lord's feet the diaries of your lives, filled with parchments of those who by your ministries have been born not of flesh and blood, but of the Holy Spirit.
God called you, you obeyed, you came. And while you were here, we have had the privilege of sharing this time with you for the chapters that God designed for your life here at NBC. It's our hope that more than instruct, that we have modeled our love for Christ and our love for you, and that we have been an encouragement along the way. More than one occasion, the Apostle Paul refers to God as the God of encouragement. And one of the apostles were so good at that that they gave him the name Son of Encouragement. You're going out into a world that oftentimes is not like home on the range, where never is heard a discouraging word. You're going into a world where a lot of discouragement bubbles to the top of people's lives. But you're going with the gospel, the good, encouraging news that the love of God overcomes the world. And so you go from this place filled with his love and with the wisdom that you have gained to minister for him, but you also go as encouragers. The God of encouragement brought you here. The God of encouragement goes with you from this place. And so I leave with you these words that Paul gave to the Christians in Rome. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Isn't it good to know you're going to have that? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so.
It is my belief that there is no greater privilege than to talk to the Father for you. So I have chosen this evening as my blessing a prayer for you. And so please listen as I talk to my Father for you. As I look toward the future, bright hope conducts this prayer, for I know the plans you have for them were wrought with divine care. Holy Spirit, lead them. Let them run at your command. Yet be still and know that you are God when troubles close at hand. Your word will be a lamp for them, a guide to light their way, a solid place to set their feet, a compass when they stray. May they live their life to praise you, not for fortune nor for fame. May everything they say and do bring glory to your name. May their eyes stay fixed upon you as they seek the way that's pure, tasting your love and goodness, sleeping and rising secure. Planted by your living streams, they'll delight in all your ways. Hidden by your sheltering wings, with new mercies for each day. Even in a dangerous land, when storms threaten to destroy, at the cross they'll stand upon the rock, their strength, their hope, their joy. Dear Lord, show them your favor. At all times keep them blessed. May your face ever shine upon them with peace and perfect rest. Amen.
A few years ago, I discovered a ministry companion by the name of Henry Nouwen. Through his writings, he helped me at times through the dark night of the soul and the difficult moments of ministry and life. The Lord will be faithful to give you that companion. And I would like to read from Henry Nouwen. One of the most important spiritual disciplines is to develop the knowledge that the years of our lives are years on a mission. As the Father has sent us, we now send you. I pray you will spend the rest of your life on a mission, fulfilling God's call for your life. It's our joy now to pray for you. And I would ask if you would come and kneel around these altars. And I'm going to ask the faculty to come and stand, and administrators, and stand on the inside of the altars, and we will pray for you. So, graduates, if you would come now. I would invite the faculty just to pray for those that you stand in front of, and then I'll close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless your chosen ones. They have responded to your call. They have prepared their hearts, minds, and spirits. And now we send them into the world. Holy Father, I pray that you will protect them from the evil one. That you protect them by the power of your name. That they will have the full measure of our Lord's joy. And that your love may be in them always. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. This we pray in the name of our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're going to stand together, and Dr. Grimo is going to come and lead us in the doxology as our benediction for the evening. Go in his peace. God bless you. Thank you.